We have I think we've got a number of other parents that are here. I know Kurt Evans' parents are here from out of town. Glad that you're visiting with us today. And I think I see some others around, but glad each one of you is here and hope that everyone enjoys a wonderful Thanksgiving season this week with family and friends. And so glad that you're in God's house this morning. Psalm 39, we'll begin reading in verse 5. The Bible says, "Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Surely, every man walketh in a vain show. Surely, they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches, and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee." Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. God, we thank you that you, as the true Jehovah, are a God who hears and answers our prayers. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us a message for all of us that is timeless, and Lord, that contains principles by which we can truly guide our every step. Thank you so much for the message of salvation that is contained in your word, but also, Lord, for our daily Christian living and how we can be what you want us to be. I pray, Father, as we examine your word today, that you would speak to every heart here. Father, if there would be someone here that does not know Jesus Christ as his or her personal Savior, that today would be their day of salvation. And Lord, for all of us, may we have our hope renewed in you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While you may not consider yourself extremely affluent after looking at the dropping value of your home or the disappearing funds in your retirement account, I remind you that compared to the rest of the nation and much of the world, Northern Virginia remains a very affluent area. Dictionary defines affluent as flowing in abundance, or having a generously sufficient and typically increasing supply of material possessions. Reminded of the words of Larry Burkett, the late Christian financial advisor, who once wrote, "The most important thing to remember is that it's wrong to invest just for the sake of making money. Making money should be a byproduct of what God has called you to do. Also, remember that peace does not come through the accumulation of material possessions. If it did, the wealthiest people in the world would be most at peace. Instead, they're often frustrated and miserable. True peace comes only from God." Amen. It's interesting that this year, Forbes.com lists Fairfax County as the richest county in the nation with a combined median family income of $100,318. Second is Loudoun County with a median income of $99,371. Yet as we think of affluence, it's amazing almost as though the definition is changing on a daily basis. Do you know, when we think of the psalmist as he's sharing with us this morning, the reflections that he had on life and some of the observations that he made regarding the brevity of life in verse 5, and then in verse 6, as he addresses this matter of our goals, of our aspirations, of our attentions, of our focus. It's important that we understand this morning how critical it is that our hope always be in the Lord. And yet what happens too many times is we have a misplaced trust. The Bible says here in verse 6, "Surely every man walketh in a vain show." You know what happens so many times is we put all of the emphasis on the external. No, we want to make sure that we have just the right car and we have just the right house and we've got everything so that outwardly everything gives an appearance of having made it, of having arrived, of having attained unto status in life. And yet, as the psalmist goes to point out here, there is much folly in having a vain show, because it will not last. It will not endure. And furthermore, he reminds us not only the folly of the external, but he says they are disquieted in vain, he heapeth up riches. The Hebrew word rendered, he heapeth up, signifies to rake together. And it gives the word picture, as it were, of the farmer who would go out and collect all of his corn together before gathering it into the barn. And how as he would go out and take that and put all of that together, he didn't know what the end of it would be. He did not know how it would be ultimately consumed. And so too, when we think of those whose goal in life, whose focus in life is to put all of their trust in what they can accumulate on this earth, how sad it is when we take into account the fact that we will not take anything with us when we leave this place, and we will not have these heaped up riches. And of course, as we realize now that even the heaped up riches that perhaps we thought we had are quickly disappearing almost on a hourly basis, if not a daily one. You know, the psalmist also reminds us of those who trust in riches. And it says, trust not in oppression and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. In Psalm 62:10. Now, it was so interesting how we can look back and we can see where Fairfax County has come from over the last 30 years, which I've had the privilege of growing up here in Northern Virginia and seeing all of the shopping centers that have evolved and how they've been remodeled, some of them two and three times, and now how some of them are going to be demolished and they're going to come in and build new ones and change the whole concept. And you know, you think years ago of how Landmark Shopping Center used to be an outdoor shopping mall for those of you that are fellow Northern Virginians, and you think of Boston Commons used to be Parkington, and it was also a quasi-outdoor shopping center. Now that's changed. And of course, now those shopping centers are becoming dated and they're looking at a master plan of leveling some of the things there in the Landmark area and doing more and always increasing and always putting our goal on having the biggest and having the best. But when it comes to eternity, it is absolute folly to put our trust in what we can heap up here on this earth. And how many people go about and make that their absolute goal and their complete drive? You know what's interesting is sometimes we can have that attitude even from our youth on up. By having to always have the next best thing and the next best toy and the biggest one and be the first one around to get it. I'm reminded of the little girl who wrote into her pastor and she said, I liked your sermon, dear pastor. I liked your sermon where you said that good health is more important than money, but I still want to raise in my allowance. Sincerely, Eleanor, age 12. You know, you think of the perspective that a child has towards material things. Another child wrote, dear God, if you give me a genie lamp like Aladdin, I will give you anything you want except my money or my chess set. So, you know, even there, you're thinking about, hey, all right, I'll trust you with this, but not with this other part. And what God wants us to do this morning is to acknowledge that every single thing that we have belongs to Him. Everything. And that my trust is not found in any banking or financial institution. It's not found in my real estate, but my hope, my trust, my expectation is found in God alone. And that's why it's so wonderful, not when your retirement shrinks or not when your real estate goes down in value, but it's so wonderful to acknowledge that my God is just as strong today, that He has just as many resources today as He did 6 weeks ago, 6 months ago, or 6 years ago. It's the same God. And what He wants us to do is to increase our trust, not in what I can get my hands on, but in my heavenly home and in my heavenly Father and looking up to Him. Solomon writes in Proverbs 23, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. You know, you almost have to wonder if he was thinking somehow prophetically of 2008 when he wrote those words that, hey, those riches that are there for the moment, they can be gone just as quickly as they came.
When it comes to our God, when it comes to our hope in Him, when it comes to our trust in Him, if we can divert all of our attention to the material and put it on the spiritual, then we will find true peace, true contentment, and true happiness, and furthermore, true meaning and fulfillment in life. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 6. We'll come back here to Psalms, but in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Here we find the admonition of the Apostle Paul to believers. And in 1 Timothy chapter 6, in verse 17, the Bible says, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." Now, lest you misconstrue what the Apostle Paul is here saying, he's not in any way implying that our money or our works can buy our eternal life. But rather, he's reminding those who are affluent, who do have of this world's goods, that they should never come to a place where that is what they are counting on. That is what they're trusting in. That is what they're putting their hope in. That is what they are depending on. But that it should always be in our Heavenly Father, and looking for opportunities to expand our trust and to increase our faith as we see God at work in our hearts and in our lives. But I ask you this morning, are you trusting the living God? Have you had a hard time sleeping recently because things are not going as well as you would hope they were? Or perhaps the financial decisions that you were looking forward to making, a major purchase or some other decision you were making, you're no longer going to be able to do, or it's been postponed momentarily? If that is robbing you of your peace, then it's a sign of misplaced trust. If that's causing you to fret and to worry and to lose your joy in serving God, it's a misplaced trust. Now, that doesn't mean we are to act foolishly and we're to go about and not be concerned about how we manage the resources that we have. And we learned this morning as we studied in our Bible study fellowship the importance that everything belongs to God, and we are fiduciaries of that. That is, we are to take what God has given to us and seek how best His will can be accomplished with the resources that He has in charge to us. But at the same time, ultimately, my trust is not in the government. My trust is not in finances. My trust is always to be in my Heavenly Father, and knowing that He is going to meet all of my needs. All of them. But he says here, the way that we are to demonstrate, therefore, that we are not trusting in uncertain riches is we put that trust in God and we acknowledge that He is the one who gives us everything we have to enjoy it. You know, when you think about the privilege that we have of coming to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, there is nothing that is to be compared with that. Absolutely nothing. When you think about the fact that heaven is going to be your eternal home, and you know, when you think from a human standpoint of how wonderful it will be that the refrigerators in heaven will never break, that the walls in heaven will never have to be painted, that the doors in heaven will never have to be oiled, that the appliances are never going to go on the blink. I mean, it makes it a wonderful place to look forward to someday. But how great it is that our trust and our hope can be firmly planted in God and in God alone. Going back to Psalms, in Psalm 39, we see what the world is trying to do. As their trust is found in the fruitless honors, What others can bestow upon them there in that vain show that he talks about in verse 6. Their trust is also on the needless cares. And that is, they're disquieted in vain. It's the imaginary cares that are substituted for real ones. And also their trust is in the useless riches, which, as we all know, yield no lasting satisfaction to themselves, nor to those who follow after them. The psalmist reminds us in Psalm 52, "This is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. But I, on the other hand, am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever." Now, the word picture that he's there trying to give us is an interesting one, because as you think of the olive tree, it tends to be a very hardy tree. It's one that can last longer than so many others. And having gone on our Holy Land trip this past summer, it was fun to see some olive trees there in the Garden of Gethsemane that date back to just after the destruction of Jerusalem. So they're about 1900 years old, and seeing their branches and seeing the fruit that is still on them, that they're still bearing fruit today, and looking back and thinking of 1900 years. And I was just reading in the newspaper yesterday, the day before yesterday, of a community over in Arlington, I believe it is. They were talking about this very old tree that they have that's about 100 years old, and how everybody there is in the community, it's about 30 some homes, they all contribute to watering it and paying to have a tree service come and take care of it, and that's the focal point of their community. I mean, that's nothing compared to what you find over in the Holy Land and the trees that you see over there. But he says, "I'm like an olive tree, furthermore, in the house of God, in a protected environment. I'm growing, I'm prospering, I'm enjoying the blessings of the Lord because my trust is not in uncertain riches. My trust is in the mercy of God. My trust is in His will for my life." Look with me, if you would, in Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. Towards the end of the chapter, the Bible says in verse 28, "He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch." You want to have God's hand of blessing upon you? You want to flourish, not in the world's eyes, but in God's eyes, which is of eternal value? Then don't trust in uncertain riches. Don't look to the material things, but look at all of the blessings that you can derive from being in the perfect center of the will of God. Two reasons why some people today in their affluence do not have the hope that they're looking for. First of all, it's due to misplaced trust. But secondly, it's due to misused treasures. Misused treasures. Going back to Psalms, we see here that our hope is not in riches. Our hope is in God. You think of the greatest treasures that you and I can ever accumulate are not found in a bank account. We think of the true charity that comes from God, the compassion that He pours out on us on a daily basis. You think of the children, which the Bible says are an heritage of the Lord. You think of your church, where you have brothers and sisters in Christ who genuinely care about you, and where you can take your spiritual gifts and use them for God's honor and glory. Compare that to the corporate world, where everyone is seeking to step on you just to get above you and to use you as a pawn in their path to further promotion. We think of the greatest treasure, though, most importantly, that we have, is that which is found in Jesus Christ our Lord, our salvation, our ultimate hope, the wonderful treasure that we have, not in earthly vessels, but rather what is found in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now today we deliberately refer to it as our All Tithe Sunday. And this is the time where it's our desire and it's our prayer that everyone who is a part of Fairfax Baptist Temple, and I'm not talking about our guests or visitors today, but everyone who is a member of Fairfax Baptist Temple, who is a part of this local church, will take the spiritual step and make the spiritual decision that I am going to give God 10% of everything that He has given to me over the last pay period, that I am going to honor the Lord. Have you ever stopped to think about what could be accomplished for God if every single member of Fairfax Baptist Temple would faithfully tithe and give to the Lord just 10% of what you have? And then if you stretch that and think of what God could do, what we could do with God's power, that is, if we took the tithe and went beyond that and gave in addition to that an offering, as we studied this morning, learning about giving God of our increase, of honoring Him with all of our substance in addition to what we do with the first fruits. And think about how much more could be done to reach our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ? How much more could be done as we seek to teach and train the young people here at Fairfax Baptist Temple Academy, how they can grow up to be servants of the Lord? What a wonderful privilege we have of living in the United States of America. What a wonderful privilege we have of being a part of an affluent part of our country. But we must never forget that we are all going to stand and give an account to God someday for the way in which we have spent the treasures that He has given to us. We are all going to stand and give an account to Him as to what value we placed on His kingdom or on our kingdom. Someone said money. It can buy a house, but not a home. It can buy a clock, but not time. It can buy you a position, but not respect. It can buy you a bed, but not sleep. It can buy you a book, but not knowledge. It can buy you medicine, but not health. So you see, money isn't everything, and it often causes pain and suffering. I tell you this because I am your friend. And as your friend, I want to take away your pain and suffering. So send me all your money and I will suffer for you. Cash only, please. After all, what are friends for? Now, sometimes we tend to look at money as the cure-all. Sometimes we forget that where our treasure needs to be is up in heaven. And what a joy it is that God gives us here in Northern Virginia much more than the vast majority of the world has. And because of that, we can do more for God, but also we're going to give a greater account to God. Now, I ask you, what is the most exciting thing that happens to you? Is it when your 401k has increased 25 or 30%? Is it when your real estate has doubled in a short period of time? Is it when your boss comes in and says you're getting a pay increase rather than a pay decrease? Or is it found in spiritual things? Turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 14, we see where our true treasures should be found. Psalm 119 verse 14, the Bible says, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. You know, we have a fun time around the Calvert household, and we are infamous for whenever you get a card, that the first thing you do when it's from a family member is you don't open it this way, but you turn it upside down and see what's going to fall out of the card. And my dad is unfortunately the worst one about it. So, you know, when you think about it, getting a card. It's a birthday card or a Christmas card or whatever the occasion is. It's always looking to see, hey, what's going to come out? And then, of course, we Calvert men sometimes tend to be a little bit babies. I'm sure you've never guessed that before. But then it's always interesting if there's not something in there, how the countenance quickly falls and, oh wow, you know, it's just a dumb card. And you don't even read the message and all of the thought and the time that went into it and the care and the love and everything else. Oh, but man, if there's something, oh wow, man, this is great. And of course, if there is something in there, then you look at the money or the check and you throw the card away anyways, because now I got the important stuff right here in my hands. Do you know what the psalmist is saying? He said, I get just as excited about walking with God, about seeking to understand His testimonies, about learning more about Him, about knowing Him more, as if you'd given me a bunch of material riches. Amen. Now, if that doesn't help us to get our perspective in place, then I don't know what will. Now you think about how exciting it is when you give someone a gift and you see the expression on their face. But how excited are you about just consistently walking with God? Does it thrill you? Does it keep that joy in your heart? Does it give you the strength to keep going on? Is it encouraging to you to say, praise God, today in the offering plate, I was able to add more to my treasures up in heaven? Or is it, man, when is he going to hurry up and finish this message? Because I sure do want to get out of here. Well, you think about, what is your attitude? What is your trust? And in what have you placed your treasure? Our glory, as the prophet Jeremiah reminded us, should be in the knowledge of God, not in the accumulation of wealth. He said, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Oh, as we give to God, as we are obedient to the Lord, as we give out of that cheerful heart, not grudgingly, as the Bible reminds us, then we can look forward to spending an eternity with our investments up in heaven.
Amen.
Being there with God forever and ever, praising His name, knowing that with what God had entrusted to me, with the blessings that He gave me of living in Northern Virginia, with the affluence that I was able to find myself in, I was able to use that for God's honor and for God's glory. And giving it back over to Him and enjoying receiving eternal dividends. It's important that we remember that we brought absolutely nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. That's why the psalmist says, he heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. Your wealth is not something that you can take with you. But your soul is. If you gain the whole world and you don't have Christ as your personal Savior, the Bible says you have nothing. Jesus reminds us in Matthew 16, what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? This morning, what you ought to do is to thank the Lord for the privilege of living right here where God has placed you in Northern Virginia. Thank God for the society in which God has sovereignly placed you, and demonstrate your gratitude to Him through your tithes and offerings back to Him through the local church. Recognize, secondly, that your personal responsibility as a steward of what does not belong to you. Thirdly, give generously to God's people who have legitimate needs. No, it's so wonderful to be a part of a spiritual family where you can help a brother or sister in the Lord. We're looking forward at the Thanksgiving time, as we've done, to the best of my knowledge, since the very first year our church was started, at giving Thanksgiving baskets to some needy families here in our church family. Why do we do that? Because we genuinely care about them. We love them. We're not interested in what they're going to give back to us. We just want to share with them a little bit of God's blessings here on us at Fairfax Baptist Temple. It's exciting being a part of a church that is concerned genuinely about the needs of those within its congregation. I would remind you this morning that we have to take care also of those that God has placed under our roofs. Think of your family. Am I providing properly for them? Am I demonstrating? Yes, I'm concerned about their needs and taking care of those. Only one life, so soon it will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. Have you reminded yourself lately that God's economy knows no recession? His dividends are still reaping eternal rewards. Today, examine, in what have you placed your trust? Is it in God? If it's not, then this morning come and say, Lord, I want to put my life in your hands. I want to receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. What about the treasures that God has given to you? Are you using them to further the work of Christ? Are you using them to see more souls get saved? Are you using them to be an encouragement, help, and blessing to other brothers and sisters in Christ? Jesus Christ may come back today. And I pray that you will be able to say, my hope is not in uncertain riches, but my hope is in thee.